coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. This is exciting news. If you are familiar with the Bible, today you will delight in some of the best-known passages of God's Word. If you are not familiar with the Bible, some of the gems of God's Word will be placed before you. In this study, we shall talk about rejoicing in the Lord, about what to do with our anxiety, about being content in any situation, and about the strength God promises to us so that we can do everything through Him. We begin reading from the letter of the Apostle Paul, written to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Euodia and Syntyche were two ladies in the church of Philippi. Surprisingly, the Apostle Paul refers to a very personal issue of relationship between the two women. There must have been a serious disagreement between Euodia and Syntyche, which hindered the work of the church. Notice that Paul does not take sides. He doesn't say that one is right and the other is wrong. Paul neither pulls rank, as if implying that he is the boss and the ladies should submit to him as servants. Instead, he encourages the ladies to find common ground where they can agree. He pleads with them to agree in the Lord. In dealing with the issue of conflict, Paul also appoints a third party to mediate. He calls that person a companion. We don't know who he was. Some scholars think it could have been Epaphroditus, who is mentioned several times in the letter to the Philippians. Anyway, this person would play the role of peacemaker. He had worked side by side with Paul along with Clement and others. Paul notes the fact that the names of these people are in the book of life. That means that they are true believers, well known to the Lord. By faith in Jesus, they will inherit life in heaven. No one whose name is written in the book of life will be forgotten in the day of judgment. Here we have a lesson on how to deal with conflicts. The principle is to be impartial and place ourselves on the same level with those who are struggling with disagreement. Our role is to encourage people to find common ground and to talk honestly about their differences. Our role is to be peacemakers. Above all, in conflicts, let us turn to Jesus Christ, in whom there is forgiveness and peace. Paul continues to write to the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul strikes once more the string of rejoicing. He does not refer to external circumstances that make one happy temporarily. No, Paul refers to internal joy. He speaks of rejoicing in the Lord always. It means that our relationship with Christ by faith gives us excellent reasons to delight, to rejoice no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in. We rejoice in what the Lord has done for us, particularly when He gave Himself up as a sacrifice on the cross for our salvation. We rejoice in the Lord for what He is doing for us right now, and for what He has promised to accomplish in the future. Paul encourages us to be reasonable towards all, that is, to maintain a serene presence, patient steadfastness, tolerant spirit, considerate words and attitudes. All these are essential to maintain peaceful relationships between people. Paul also reminds us that the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand in the sense that He manifests His presence and gives us His aid in His Word and in the sacraments of Holy Baptism and Holy Communion. In these means, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand also in the sense that His second coming on the last day is drawing closer and closer. From God's vantage point, 1,000 years are as a day. Thus, there is a sense in which, for every generation, the Lord's coming is near. Then the Apostle Paul touches on a very sensitive issue that plagues, if not all, most of the people. Anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything. I don't know about you, but I'm an anxious person. I'm sure that many others line up with me. What is meant by anxiety? Anxiety is worry in the negative sense of harassing care, of attempting to carry the burden of the future oneself, of unreasonable concern about things over which one has no control. There is a word in the German language that expresses well the meaning of anxiety. The word is würgen, that is, strangle, choke, slay, take by the throat. You know, we need God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ for our sin of anxiety. We need also take in the words of the Apostle Paul when he gives us advice what to do with our anxiety. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." We are encouraged to take our anxiety to the Lord in prayer. A biblical scholar says, "The way to be anxious about nothing is to pray specifically about everything." So at God's invitation, we speak to Him about our anxiety. We make specific requests for help. And then we also give thanks to God in all things. Thanksgiving means giving God the glory in everything, making room for Him, casting our care on Him, letting it be His care. God knows what to do with our anxiety. He is willing to deal with it and to provide His help, which is always the best. The Apostle adds a remarkable statement to the issue of what to do with our anxiety, saying, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace here means not merely a psychological state of mind, but an inner tranquility based on peace with God, the peaceful state of those whose sins are forgiven. This peace is the opposite of anxiety. In the tranquility that comes when the believer commits all his cares to God in prayer and worries about them no more. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. The full dimensions of God's love and care are beyond human comprehension. The beautiful and comforting promise is that our hearts and minds, with all their anxiety and concerns, are well guarded and cared for in Christ Jesus. Continuing his writing to the Philippians, Paul says in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. With all the things we get involved in, and with all the means of communication that surround us in these days, our minds are bombarded from all sides with good news and bad news. What fills our minds mostly? Paul recommends fundamental virtues and ideals of life to be the content of our minds. He refers to whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, these are the things to dwell in our minds. Paul not only recommends to think about these noble virtues, but also to put them into practice. Our thoughts obviously direct and shape our words and our doings. What we allow to occupy our mind will sooner or later determine our speech and our action. Paul places himself as an example to be followed in this respect. His entire life bears witness and demonstrates how to live for Christ. He was not only a teacher in word, but also a mentor in life. Picking up again the text of Paul's letter to the Philippians, we read in chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Once more, Paul rejoices greatly in the Lord for what the Lord had done for him through the kindness and generosity of the Philippians. Paul opens his heart and expresses thankfulness to God and thankfulness to the Philippians. They cared for the needs of the apostle while he was on his missionary journeys, and particularly now that he was imprisoned. Paul underlines the fact that the Philippians were the only church that shared with him in the matter of giving and receiving. Again and again they sent aid to Paul when he was in need. One of the examples of supporting Paul happened when he was in prison, and the Philippians sent Epaphroditus with gifts to supplying his needs. The generosity of the Philippians provided Paul with all he needed and for which he is immensely grateful. Paul says that the gifts of the Philippians are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Beautiful. We do well in sharing the gifts received from God with those in need, particularly supporting missionaries and mission work. There is a special note in the words of Paul which we shall not overlook. He says, "I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." Can we say the same? Our human inclination is to complain instead of being content. We tend to complain not only in adverse circumstances, but also in prosperity. To be content in any circumstance is a lesson to be learned throughout our whole life. The lesson is learned day after day as we trust in God's promise to provide for our needs and as we appreciate with thanksgiving what He supplies. Examples like the one that comes from Paul, who faced all kinds of extreme conditions, help us to learn the lesson to be content in any situation. Paul was so confident in God's providence that he said, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Paul comes to the conclusion of his letter to the Philippians. In chapter 4, verses 21 to 23, he says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Paul's last words in the letter are greetings and blessings. The greetings come not only from Paul, but also from other Christians who were with Paul, including Timothy, and especially those of the household of Caesar, that is, those employed in and around the palace area. The same faith in the same Savior, the same joy in the Lord, and the same hope in Jesus Christ unite believers no matter how far they live apart. We take the words of benediction of Paul to conclude this series of Bible studies on the letter to the Philippians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
The study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.